Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in icy upstate New York. And for the next 60 minutes, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw, yes, but other things as well, as a new format to our show takes place or begins today. As always, though, 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486 if you'd like to talk to us live. And of course, you can hit us up in our chat room and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. The new format is very simple and not so very different. But what we do want is for all of you fans to express your opinions on the new format and tell us if you like it or you don't, because if you don't, then certainly we'll go back to the way it was. The new format is basically this. We are going to review Monday Night Raw. We are not going to dissect each and every match and each and every segment because, A, it takes up our whole show, which was great, and I know a lot of people enjoyed it, but, B, I don't feel at this stage that WWE really deserves that. They just don't deserve to have Raw be the entire focus of this entire show because fans are growing increasingly disgruntled with it. And ratings are dropping. And on top of that, I guess if you watched Monday Night Raw last night, it's pretty clear that the fans' interest in the product, I mean, I think I heard one or two pops all night long from a crowd who paid to be there. You need to let that sink in for a minute. I mean, here you are. You're presumably don't live next door to the arena. So you get in your car, or you take public transport or whatever you're going to do. You buy your tickets. You travel there however long it's going to take you to get there. You stand in line to get in the building. You get into your seats. You're ready for your night. And then you quietly sit there because nothing that you see rises to the level of you making some noise or cheering or screaming or whatever it happens to be, or very little. That takes a lot. That takes a lot. Because any show I've ever been to, I don't care if I didn't even know the people. I don't care if it's the first time I went to an indie and I didn't know anyone. If they gave me something to cheer for, something to boo, I did. Because I'm here to enjoy myself and I want to, you know, I want to make some noise. I want to get into this. The new WWE crowds that they're drawing, they remind me of movie critics. They just kind of sit there and say, uh-huh. Okay, this is the direction they're going. All right. And there's just no noise. You hear a pin drop through some of this Raw. But anyway, I digress. We've got a lot to discuss, so let's get right to it. And let's start with some of the backstage fallout that has happened with this main event, the TLC main event between the Kabuki Warriors, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair. Now, what I'm told is that Triple H and Vince McMahon were not at TLC. They did produce the show via some conference call or something, but basically, Bruce Pritchard was responsible for the SmackDown matches, and Paul Heyman was responsible for the Raw matches. And so this is going to fall on Paul Heyman's shoulders. And Vince McMahon was apparently a little bit upset that when at first notice that Kairi Sane was not well, doctors were not called out to ringside to check on her and make a decision whether she could continue or not. It pissed them off. Now, I've watched this thing about six times now because what I'm told is Becky Lynch knew very early on. Apparently, this happened when Charlotte Flair gave Kairi Sane the exploder suplex into the barricade, and Kairi Sane struck her head on exposed floor. Apparently, Charlotte didn't realize. Becky Lynch did at some point, and she was able to tell Asuka, and then eventually tell Charlotte Flair and tell the referee. But Charlotte Flair did not know about it, presumably. That's what we're told. Charlotte Flair did not know that Kairi Sane was injured or not with it when she attempted to pick her up. First, she tried to spear her, and she went nowhere. That should have been a signal. Then she went to pick her up to put her through a table, and you can clearly... Now, listen, I don't like to blame workers. I'm the first person to say, accidents happen, man. This is a tough sport. Not even a sport. It's a tough show. Tough business. And you're going to get bounced around, and you're going to get hurt. And if you don't want to get bounced around, you don't want to get hurt, you shouldn't be a pro wrestler. However, logic has to dictate, too. And Charlotte Flair is a professional. And if you can't see that Kairi Sane is injured, then look no further than watch the segment where she attempts to pick up Kairi Sane to put her through the table. You can clearly hear Kairi Sane protesting it. And then she's beating her on the arm, saying, no, no, let me go. No, no, let me go. She's not doing that to hype the move. Anybody would know that. That's a clear signal. No, 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 no. I don't want to go through the table. Watch it yourself. I'm not making it up. Watch Kairi Sane beat Charlotte Flair's arm in desperation, saying, no, 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 no. And she's still put through the table. Now people are saying, well, what would happen? I mean, you can't, if Kairi Sane's taken out and they have to go for the finish, it's going to be Asuka against two faces. That's going to make Asuka look like the face. It's going to be very, very difficult to do the match. Listen, don't give me that. There's many, then let Asuka take one other person out so it's even. Somebody say, Charlotte, stay down, make like you're out. Becky, stay down, make like you're out. Whatever has to happen. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot exacerbate a potential injury because, well, I didn't know. What do you mean you didn't know? So that's your ability to evaluate your opponent. You just speared a girl and she went nowhere. You bounced off her like you hit a brick wall. She didn't sell it one tiny iota. And she's beating on your arm, telling you no, 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 no. And you don't presume something's wrong. Kairi Sane would no-sell my spear, and she's beating on my arm telling me not to do this. So Charlotte Flair can tweet all she wants. You're one tough girl. You know, you did a great job. Yeah, that's great. That's after the fact. It's easy to do. But I'm not enamored with Charlotte Flair's ability to read her opponent's physical condition. Funny, Becky Lynch picked up on it. Becky Lynch wasn't the one doing it. So I'm not at all happy. Not at all happy with that. And if you watched last night's Raw, you saw very clearly that Kairi Sane didn't even take one step past the curtain. She came out with Asuka so she could get that one shot. And then back she went. She didn't come to ringside. She didn't walk down with her. Nothing. Now, I'm told that Kairi Sane may not have an actual concussion. She was knocked unconscious, is what happened. Again, you knock somebody unconscious, you don't know it. At what point do you say she is not acting right? Something's wrong. But anyway, she may not have a concussion. If she does, it may just be a mild one. Nobody knows how long she's out of action for, but right now she is not medically cleared to wrestle. And right now, I understand that there's going to be a lot of people saying, don't put the blame on anybody. This is what happens. I would agree with you if a move went wrong. I'm not blaming Charlotte Flair for the exploder suplex there that hurt her. I'm not blaming her for that. As a matter of fact, from what I hear, Kairi Sane is not blaming her for that. Kairi Sane's disappointed in herself at her inability not to protect her head like she's supposed to. So no one's blaming Charlotte Flair for that. Things happen. What I am blaming Charlotte Flair for is not picking up on it, not recognizing it, and clearly putting someone through a table who is telling you, I don't want to go. And again, if you doubt me, roll that beautiful footage back. Watch Kyrie Sane not jump, tap Charlotte Flair's arm frantically four or five times in a no, 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 no type way. And Charlotte Flair just muscles her up and says, too bad. That's inexcusable. I don't care if you're a Charlotte Flair fan. I like Charlotte Flair. That's inexcusable. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. We'll get into Monday Night Raw. Mike, what's your thoughts on this now that we know what the fallout is?
Okay, if that's the case, then and if it's a little, just, you know, not really a major concussion. Now, granted, she's going to go in. If it's anywhere near a concussion, they're going to put her in the protocols, right? The concussion protocols. And mm-hmm. she's gonna be out for God knows how long. And, again, I say that her being out for that for God knows how long is going to hurt this team. Now, granted, they gave Asuka a win, you know, a singles win, just in case. I look at that win as just in case you're going for an extended period of time. We got to do something with Asuka besides what we're doing, what we're going to do, which is probably would have been nothing. You know?
Well, I think they're going to do more than that, Mike. They're giving her, obviously, a title shot against Becky Lynch from where this went later on with Becky Lynch's interview. But that was always sort of the plan, I think, to have Becky Lynch challenge Asuka one-on-one. But, yeah, this is going to definitely derail that team a bit. And, look, even if she has a mild concussion, they're going to err on the side of caution. She's going to be out for a considerable length of time. Not months and months and months and months, maybe, but probably a month. And that does hurt. And I think, you know, you have to set people down and say, look, you know, nobody's mad at you. Nobody's technically blaming you. But we're looking at a videotape where this girl's beating on your arm, telling you no. At what point do you not put her through the table? At what point do you walk away from that? Anyway, the show starts out with Seth Rollins introducing the AOP. He's going, you know, full-fledged heel now. This is his faction. He says these are the first two, which means there could be more. And basically says he's apologizing ahead of time for what he's going to have to do tonight, but he's going to have to do some things that are unpopular. At that point, we really don't know what it is, but obviously it sets the stage that he is going to do something to someone. We just don't know what. We get the rematch, which is just bizarre. The OC and the Viking Raiders, and they have a much better match than they had at the pay-per-view. Somebody please explain. Please explain why the pay-per-view match is a setup for Raw and not the Raw match is a setup for a pay-per-view, because I'm confused. And it's a non-title match. And the OC win. They now have two wins over the Viking Raiders. This was a much better match than they put on at the pay-per-view. But again, the crowd, dead silent. The Viking Raiders got a pop coming out, but when the match started, there was no big pops. The biggest pop was when Ivar did the moonsault that led to the demise of their match. But that was it. This crowd was pretty much quiet all night long. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, why would you set up a Raw opening match, using a pay-per-view match to do it? It seems bizarre.
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it was just weird. And like you said, it was the fans were just silent and quiet throughout the whole match. The only time they got a pop when the Viking Raiders came out and one of them did one of the moves. And that was like
the moonsault
okay.
at the end, yeah.
Yeah, the moonsault.
Yeah, that was it. Just the moonsault at the end. That was it. They pop. The crowd is popping for specific moves or entrances, but they're not getting into the match. That's what people got to realize, Mike. They say, oh, well, they got a good ovation when they came out. So what? Or that one move got a pop. So what? How come they're not into the match? They're not into the match because the WWE has not provided us with enough material to really get emotionally involved in a good deal of these wrestlers, Mike.
Right, and we'll talk about it later, what they did with the main event, but which kind of feeds into this, which this match should have fed into, but again, yeah, they're popping for specific moves. Now, there are specific wrestlers that they will pop for, you know, and most of them are on SmackDown. You know, they pop for, Baron Corbin, you know. They pop for a bunch of people on SmackDown. They don't pop for a lot of people on Raw.
No, but even on SmackDown, they're popping for entrances and moves, but they're not like physically into the match. Like, I don't know. You'll see the audience are just like, yeah, okay. Nobody's cheering. Let's go so-and-so. Nothing. It's just, yeah. It's weird. Anyway, skip ahead a little bit. Look, Luke Harper, I mean, Eric Rowan fought some guy. They're continuing this. What's in the box or whatever the hell it is thing, carrier, I don't know, and I don't care. I'll be quite honest with you, this is going nowhere. They did a ridiculous thing with Lana that got, listen, this thing with Lana got bigger audience reaction than any match, including the Gauntlet match. So before you go on and say, well, this is a lousy angle, which it is, the crowd's still popping for it. And as long as this crowd pops for it, I'm telling you, you're just going to get more and more and more and more and more of it, because the WWE is going to see, well, I don't know, crowd's making an awful lot of noise. Somehow Lana managed to either purposely screw up her lines or just totally screw up her lines when she said, I am asking you to ask me to marry me. I think it was supposed to be, I'm asking you to ask me to marry you. I don't know. Either way, they teased the crowd with Bobby Lashley saying, I don't like when people tell me what to do. And then there's that dead silence pause, and he says, except you. And he proposes to her. And she says, oh, this was just exactly like we practiced it. And, you know, listen, they're getting heat. That's fine. Most of the heat's Lana's, though. That's the thing. It's not really Lashley's. 99.999% of this heat is Lana's. So, you know, okay, it is what it is. Interestingly, Bobby Lashley said something that piqued my interest a little bit when he said, you are the top female wrestler in this federation. And I said, Jesus, she's not been in the ring. There may be plans. If Lana continues to get this kind of heat, there may be some plans here, because they're going to realize, well, you can't have men hitting her. And people want to see her get beat up. So maybe we can make a face off of this. Maybe we can, you know, get some heat off of this. And if that's the case, then, Mike, you might see her back in the ring again soon.
You might see her back in the ring. And look, they tried this before, but for some reason, she was at least showing some improvement in what she was doing in the ring. And then they cut it off. They cut it off at the knees or something, you know. If they decide to put her back in the ring, they must feel like she must be practicing or doing whatever, and they must feel like, well, she's good enough to get back in the ring to do some more stuff, you know?
Right.
To at least have a passable match.
Especially if she has this kind of heat, because then they know that that's money. I mean, if you say Lana's going to fight some female worker, people are going to say, good, I hope she kicks her ass. You know, you can't buy that kind of heat. So if she's getting that kind of heat, yeah, I think you're going to see her in the ring maybe more sooner than later, to be honest. Okay, well, anyway, let's get to the main core of this, because, again, we're changing the format a little. We're not going to do every match, you know, in depth. The Gauntlet match to decide the number one contender for Rey Mysterio's title should have been, and in some places was, an extremely good match. But when you say we're having the top six people, and then you put R-Truth and Akira Tozawa, who has won not one match. And Matt Hardy, who just barely came back and has not won one match. then you're asking the fans to believe a fantasy. Oh, these are the top six guys. No, they're not. No, they're not. So R-Truth starts out with Akira Tozawa. Tozawa wins because, and then Truth is chased around by the 24/7 Jabron squad. That's old. That's done, folks. That's done. It was nice to see him back in the ring again. I just wish they'd just let R-Truth be back in the ring. Good for Akira Tozawa. He gets one win. Out comes Ricochet. They used Ricochet because they know very well he can stay in the ring a long period of time. Him and Tozawa had a pretty good exchange. Then we get to Humberto Carrillo and him. They had a better exchange. Carrillo manages to win. Then out comes Andrade, but he actually comes out from behind because Zelina Vega had come out on the stage to kind of draw the attention toward her. And then when she pointed to the curtain as if he's going to come out, Humberto Carrillo turns to see him and boom, gets blindsided. But then something really weird happens. Instead of trying to pin him or do anything, he just beats the hell out of him. He keeps saying, which is good, you see this thing on my face, meaning the scar that he left him from the pay-per-view, and he's beating the hell out of Carrillo. And he gives him his finisher on the floor after he tears away the pad. But then Seth Rollins and the AOP come out. Well, wait a minute. We have a gauntlet match going on here. No one, is he disqualified? If he's disqualified, Humberto Carrillo is the number one contender. If he's not disqualified, then and the match is stopped, then Andrade wins. And Andrade's the number one contender. If Andrade and Carrillo are both counted out, then I don't know. But there was no decision made on anything. Rey Mysterio comes out to help, and then out comes the AOP and Seth Rollins to beat up Rey Mysterio. Because Rey Mysterio was the one who handed Kevin Owens the pipe last week. What did we just watch a half-hour match for then? And the announcers kept pumping it up. You see how badly they want to be the number one contender. You see what this belt means to them. Okay. Well, nobody got anything then for their effort. Nobody got anything. It wasn't really a gauntlet match. It was a very long half-hour stalling tactic to get to an angle where Seth Rollins comes in and beats up Rey Mysterio. So what I thought was going to be Andretti's big push is, man, we're going to get Andretti against Rey Mysterio for the title. That's going to be pretty good. Just turns into, no, Andretti, you're just thrown to the side. We got a bigger guy in mind, Seth Rollins. He's gonna challenge him. Now, I want fans to understand one thing. There is no Raw next week live. It was taped last night. So I know what happened. I'm not going to say. Because I don't really believe in that kind of stuff. I know what happens on next week's Raw. I have all the results. If you want them, you can go online and find them. I'm not going to give them to you. What I will say is this. Next week's show will probably be better than this week's show. Due to some interesting twists in the plot line. So this week's show, AJ Styles and Randy Orton. Okay, Randy Orton wins. I guess you can't have AJ Styles keep losing, but okay, whatever. And then, you know, they ended up looking strong anyway because they beat down the Viking Raiders and Randy after the match. Asuka fights Deonna Purrazzo. That's fine. She made her debut. She looked okay. The only other takeaway I can give you from Raw is Liv Morgan. I guess we're wrong because what I see last night does not seem like Liv Morgan is going to have anything to do with Bray Wyatt. Maybe they're swerving us. I don't know. But I don't see how this gimmick that she's doing, saying she has to destroy herself to find her real self. Maybe, but it doesn't seem likely. I don't know why. I have this weird feeling that they're going to go with some kind of like real glamour girl type thing with Liv Morgan. I don't know why, you know, the candles and the bathtub and the whole, you know, sexy thing. And if that's the way they're going, this is not going to work for Liv Morgan. You've had a bazillion of these and it doesn't work. You got one right now in Lana, really. It's the same thing, really. I'm the most gorgeous. I'm the prettiest. I'm the this. I'm the... You got that. You don't need another. So I don't know where they're going with the Liv Morgan thing, Mike, but I don't necessarily think it's Wyatt now.
Hell, Lacey Evans. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
What was that? The Sexy Southern Belle? You know, that yep. type of stuff? That's what that was. So I don't know where this is going either. And look, I did not like the finish of that. I would rather, because of what they did earlier with the OC, with Gallows and Anderson, I would have loved to have seen the finish of the match be AJ wins the match. Then I would say, okay, here we go. Now here comes the run for the OC to possibly get into the effect of, well, they're going to be going against whatever this new grouping is for
right.
Seth Rollins and the AOP. You know, that's why I wanted AJ to win that match.
I agree with that because that's where the money is. But unfortunately, without giving too much away from next week's Raw, that's not the direction they're going in. They don't see the AOP as being, oh, they're going to be the ones who ultimately challenge Seth Rollins' crew, whatever he calls them. Instead, it would much appear it's going to be Rey Mysterio, obviously, Kevin Owens, obviously. And let me just give you a hint. Listen to the announcers very carefully. And one of them says, if you don't stand up, if the people in the locker room right now do not stand up to these people, it's just going to grow. And everybody in the locker room better understand and wake up and realize you got to fight these guys now before it gets out of hand, because that's where your new faction is going to be. That's where your first major feud is going to be. And I don't like it. Because the AOP should be the exact type of people to make the OC set up and take notice and say, wait a minute, we call ourselves the only club that matters. Well, how do these guys say they rule? You don't rule anything. That would that not be common sense, Todd? But yet, it doesn't look like they're going in that direction.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it looks like they're going that kind of direction with Seth Rollins and the AOP ad. And you know, like you said, I just don't like this direction they're going with this.
I don't mind the direction with Seth Rollins and the AOP, but I mean, if you're going to go in a direction of their main competition is going to be Rey Mysterio, Kevin Owens, and a player to be named later, which by now you should have figured out. I don't like it. Rey Mysterio and Kevin Owens have nothing in common and shouldn't be a team. And neither does the third person and shouldn't be a team. Great solo wrestlers, yeah. Formidable. Any one of them, yeah. Taking on Seth Rollins, yeah. But not as a team. And the OC should be the people to say, wait a minute. Did we just not come out here and tell you we are the only team that matters? And now here's a team saying they rule. They're the ones. They're the arbiters of everything that goes on here. I don't think so. Mike, that's got to be where the money is, and the WWE's ignoring it.
It's got to be where the money is, and especially if let's say for the sake of argument that the AOP is not the end-all, be-all to this group, that there's more, you know. Then
right.
what could happen is, if they've gone the way of the OC, then what could happen is, well, here comes Finn Balor, and here comes Nakamura.
Nakamura, yeah.
You know, and
yeah, there's a lot of things to do. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean, it's like that would be the first after they bring in more guys, after Seth Rollins brings in more guys, that could be the next move for the OC. That would be the absolute next move for the OC. It would be either Nakamura coming over from SmackDown or bring what's his name back up.
There's a lot of things you can do with it. I mean, but the WWE right now seems to be focused on something else, taking three top people who should be solo workers and forming them into some sort of a makeshift team that, in my opinion, it's not going to work out for any of them. So anyway, how did Raw end up? Well, it's very mediocre effort, really, I think. Very mediocre effort. Next week's on paper sounds better. But this week, again, you know, I'm tired of saying, well, they're trying to hit the reset button after a pay-per-view. There's nothing to hit. The best thing in this entire Monday Night Raw, other than some very good action between Ricochet and Humberto, the very best thing was Becky Lynch's challenge to Asuka, which really shocked me when she said, listen, I'm not an idiot. I know that I'm the WWE's golden goose, and I thought they're putting me in a tag team because they just want the fans to see more of me, and they think that, you know, I can sell merchandise and I can do this, but that's not really what it is. They're protecting me. They're protecting me because they don't want me to lose the belt, because they know that that's where their bread is buttered with me having this belt, but that's not why I became a champion, to be protected. And the truth is, Asuka's been better than me. Every time she's fought me, she's won. She's been better than me. And I'm not going to be a real champion. I'm not going to be a true champion unless I take on the challenge of who the best people are, and she's the best. Now, that's a refreshing sort of a half-truth interview. And oddly enough, it's the exact opposite of what her boyfriend, her fiancé there, Seth Rollins, is using. Seth Rollins is using, it's the fans' fault I lose. It's the, you know, I'm carrying the Federation and they're stacking the deck against me. She's doing the opposite, saying that Federation's trying to protect me and it's my fault because I fell into that. It's a weird sort of a thing, Mike, but I thought it worked pretty well.
I think it worked pretty well, too. And look, as much as we question what they did with Lana, I mean, this whole gimmick is over. This whole angle is over. So if it leads to Lana getting back in the ring, so be it. You know, that's a branch on a tree there.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Mike, is every time Lashley is involved in a feud that's over, it's because of somebody else. Leo Rush was able to get him into a feud where you say, okay, well, everybody's mad at Lashley because of Leo Rush. Now Lana's doing the same thing. Everybody's mad at Lashley because of Lana. He can't get himself over. He has to have someone create the heat. And Lana has definitely created the heat. She's doing a good job at that. The problem is, what's going to happen if they decide to go their separate ways here? It's Lashley's doomed again. You got to hook Lashley up with a more permanent manager. Leo Rush was really good when I understand you wanted to use him more for that. Then find a manager. Find someone you're really not going to use all that much in the ring, if at all. Like a Sami Zayn. I know he says he can go to either show. Find someone. Because the bottom line is, this thing with Lana's not going to last forever, and Bobby Lashley's going to be out in the dark again because he can't get the heat himself. Lana gets all that heat. All of this is attributed to Lana. So, overall, listen, AJ Styles and Randy Orton put on a decent match. Again, I agree with Mike. You got to start promoting the OC a little bit more, because eventually that's got to be where this is leading, folks. If the WWE cannot see that the fans would like the OC versus the AOP's Seth Rollins faction, that's where this... I'm telling you, that's where the money is. They're the perfect people to turn the OC back to faces. Perfect people. By the way, Seth Rollins is a much better heel. He did a much better job this week. Seth Rollins should really consider not being a face ever because he's not really all that good at it. And he's very good at being a heel. So having said that, I'm going to give this a pretty much thumbs in the middle because I don't think anything major happened. I think people were waiting to see Kevin Owens. He didn't show. I think people were disappointed that the gauntlet match didn't have a real ending. Fans were quiet. I didn't see much to cheer about here. So I'm going to give this a C-, Mike. What's your thoughts?
I gotta go with you on that, the C-, because, you know, and the only thing that's making this C- is the fact that Becky Lynch deal, and I can see somewhat of an end of the tunnel with Lana, you know.
Yeah, I guarantee. One thing you want to take away from Raw this week is there were a few lines that were just said very quickly and in haste that probably are going to mean something later on. Bobby Lashley saying she's the greatest women's wrestler in the division when she hasn't wrestled in a year. That means something. And one of the announcers saying it's time to stand up against these guys before they grow, that obviously does mean something. So this could lead to some good things, but it just was a mediocre show. And I think whenever you have a show where a good half hour, if not more of it, is dedicated to one match to decide a number one contender, and it doesn't even decide that, fans feel a little bit ripped off. So, Todd, what's your rating on this?
I gotta go the same grade with you.
So we're all doing C minuses here. Yeah, look, it could have been a hell of a lot better. Hell of a lot better. Now, in the meantime, NWA Power put on their Into the Fire pay-per-view. And I realize probably a lot of people did not see it. So I'm not going to go crazy on it. I'm just going to tell you that a few major things happened. Nick Aldis did retain his championship over James Storm in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Referee stoppage in the third when they were up 1 apiece. Aaron Stevens became the new NWA national champion. Good move. For the benefit of people who don't know Aaron Stevens, that's Damian Sandow. Really good move. Bad move. The Rock and Roll Express, who actually was the tag team champions, actually defended those belts successfully again against the Wild Cards, who are a good young team. And look, God bless the Rock and Roll Express. One of the greatest tag teams in the history of the world. Hands down. But they're 60 some odd years old. And they move like a turtle. And watching them bounce around guys a third of their age in slow motion is not what you want to do if you're an up-and-coming federation. I'm telling you. I know nostalgia, it's great. It's all NWA, there's a tie-in. I get it. I get that. But if you want to go above this little niche audience that you have, you can't seriously think that anyone's going to take you serious with the Rock and Roll Express at this stage of their career being the tag team champions. I'm sorry. So that is a absolute thumbs down on that one. Eli Drake beat Ken Anderson in a good match. There's a lot of decent matches here. And if you haven't checked out NWA Power, you can do that. I think the new season starts tonight, actually, on YouTube. So find the YouTube NWA Power and you can check it out. Really interesting show, some really good wrestlers. And, of course, the big surprise is at the end of the Nick Aldis-James Storms match, who should show up but Marty Scurll. Marty Scurll shows up. There was speculation he's going to AEW. He's going to Japan. And we don't know where he's going. Well, apparently he's going to NWA. That's a big pickup. that's a big pickup, because even if people don't really know who Marty Scurll is, it's still a big pickup for your hardcore wrestling fans who understand, you know, the worth of that. And more, I think wrestlers are saying, look, this NWA thing is not a bad idea. It's a throwback to what wrestling used to be. And if they can keep the paychecks coming, this could work. So I don't know what the buy rate was of their pay-per-view or how successful it was or whatever, but I do know that they had a lot of good matches, a couple of mistakes. Stu Bennett is now co-announcing it, which is, of course, Wade Barrett. He did a great job. This is a very good pickup for them, too. They've managed to pick up some very, very, very good momentum. Jim Cornette out, Stu Bennett in. That's a positive. Jim Cornette's annoying. There are people who get mad at me when I say that, but Jim Cornette's annoying. Does he know the business? Yeah, he knows the business. So he knew the business 40 years ago, which is great if you're an old school thing like NWA. But at some point in time, you do want to try to cross that barrier and get some new fans, right? So you got to let the Rock and Roll Express thing fade into the sunset. And you got to get some announcers who are a little more hip to whatever maybe Stu Bennett is. So these are positive things. NWA, again, can be seen on YouTube, and I think that it's worth everybody's time to check it out. It's probably not going to be everybody's cup of tea. It's shot in a little auditorium-type thing, almost like the old AWA was, with fans only on one side of the ring, really. And at times it looks a little corny and it looks a little 1970s, but hey, it's working and it's different. It's different than what we're seeing. So picking up a Marty Scurll mic, that's a big move.
That is a big move. I thought picking up Stu Bennett was a big move as well. So they keep making these surprisingly big moves, and they're going to just keep ascending, you know. And at some point, instead of being on YouTube, they'll be on, I don't know, Spike or some station, yeah. You know. Somebody's going to pick them up at some point. It may not be this year. It may be 2 years down the line, 3 years down the line, but some TV station, some major TV station is going to pick them up.
Especially if they start picking up some really major talent. And again, they're placing some emphasis, of course, on wrestling ability, but they're placing a lot of emphasis also on your ability to get over on the mic. You're putting the belt on Aaron Stevens primarily because Aaron Stevens can get himself over, not because he's the greatest wrestler that ever walked the face of the earth. You're putting the belts reluctantly on the Rock and Roll Express because they're popular, not because they're still great in the ring. Because they're not. But I think there's going to be this mixture with the NWA where they absolutely promote the people who can get themselves over, like Eli Drake, who can get himself over so well on the mic. But they're also going to start bringing in guys who can really, really, really get it done. And there's going to be that great mixture. And this is one to watch, I'm telling you. This is a federation to watch. It's not going to blow the WWE out of the water. It's probably not even going to blow AEW out of the water. But it is going to be a very strong alternative for fans who are a little bit tired of the common WWE type show, which apparently is a lot of people gathering that, you know, we're watching Humberto Carrillo and Ricochet pretty much light it up athletically, and people are sitting on their hands. And what did I say? I feel like the great, Nostradamus. I feel like Nostradamus because I said this, if you're just going to rely almost 100% on I'm a great athlete, look at my moves, fans are going to get bored. Because they're going to say, well, that's great, but I've seen those moves 1,000 times. You have to create a character that the fans actually emotionally get involved with. And if you can't do that, it doesn't matter how good of an athlete you are, you're not going to get over for a long period of time. You may get over for a short period of time. Somebody might come along and you're like, oh my God, look at him. He can flip and dive. And did you see what he did? It's amazing. Did you see this guy? Everybody watch this guy. And then you watch him for 3 months and you're like, okay, already, I've seen it. But nothing else is going on with him. He's not interesting. He just does these same moves over and over. That's what we saw last night. Fans were not impressed enough to stand up and cheer because they weren't emotionally invested in Ricochet, and they're not emotionally invested in Humberto Carrillo. They don't really care much about him. They're like, yeah, they're great athletes, but I don't know anything about them. I don't know, you know, there's no gimmick behind them. There's no story behind them. There's no fleshing out of their personality. They're just good athletes. Okay, I told you. I warned everybody. That's going to get old because that's not what wrestling is. You can be the greatest athlete in the world, and you're going to get boring to a group of people who've seen your act 50 times. What doesn't get old is when you can go out there on that microphone and really rip one out, where fans are just like, damn, man, I want to see this guy get beat. So let me explain something that's going to make fans mad. Right now, to the WWE, maybe not to you and all the fan bases, but to the WWE, Lana is more important than Ricochet. Why? Well, because she got the crowd to pop. A quiet crowd became noisy. And she did it without even doing a wrestling move. She did it by just using a microphone. These guys go out and risk their lives and their neck doing ridiculously insane moves, and the crowd's like, eh. Seen it. Yeah, cool. Very cool, but seen it. Oh, I hate Lana. I hope somebody beats her ass. See? See what the difference is? The WWE wants to evoke that emotion in you. And mistakenly, wrestling as a business has now thought that being an uber athlete and doing all these high athletic moves will evoke that emotion in you. And it does, but for a very short period of time. And then it grows old. Characterization is enormously important. And if you don't give that characterization, it will not work for a long period of time. Evidence last night. Humberto Carrillo and Ricochet hitting all their moves perfectly, looking like $1 million, fans sitting on their hands. Lana screaming about nonsense, and fans are ready to riot. I think that's the mistake wrestling's making nowadays, Mike.
It really is, and look. Yeah, it really is. And look, here's the thing about the NWA. The NWA owners have a plan, or owner has a plan. Now, you're going to ask yourself, who owns the NWA right now? Well, guess who that is? Billy Corrigan.
Billy Corrigan, yeah.
Right. And if this was his plan for TNA back when TNA was having their money problems and was trying to buy them, then it's a good plan. Now, TNA is doing somewhat well right now, but if this was his plan for Impact at the time when he was trying to buy them, it seems to be a good plan. It seems to be a working plan, you know, that if this is his plan, it's working. And it's more of a long-term plan than we got to come up and do something right now, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And listen, as long as Billy Corrigan keeps his nose out of behind the camera, thankfully that's what he's done so far, because I have a newsflash. He may be a good musician. He is terrible. Terrible as a wrestling personality. Maybe the worst I've ever seen. There were certain types or spots he did on Impact that I was embarrassed for him. Terrible. So stay the hell out of it, Billy. If you got a good mind for the business, that's great. You do not have a great character for in front of the camera. You don't. Period. Knowing the business doesn't mean you're going to be a great character in front of the camera, and you're not. Anyway, the last thing we wanted to talk about is there's a big controversy now about these suspensions that the WWE did on Bobby Roode and Primo Colon. Now, the Bobby Roode one apparently was legit. He tested for a controlled substance. They won't say what it was, but I can pretty much promise you it's not marijuana or anything. It's performance-enhancing drugs of some kind. The man's 40-some-odd years old and has the body of a 21-year-old, and, you know, you don't – it doesn't happen. So his is legit, but Primo is telling everyone who will listen he did not fail a drug test. He said, I was in Puerto Rico. They weren't using me. I was in Puerto Rico waiting for a call that I'm going to get used for a show or whatever. And they called me and said, you know, you got to come up and do a drug test. And I said, well, okay, but I'm in Puerto Rico. So just give me some place to go in Puerto Rico that you approve of, a doctor you approve of, and I'll go. But normally this is done at a show. Normally we'll show up at a show and nobody knows it. And all of a sudden there's people there testing you. And I'm not at a show. So I'm not going to fly from Puerto Rico all the way to, you know, somewhere in Nebraska or wherever the hell they are, sit behind, you know, stage at a show just to get my drug test. So I said, you know, just send me information of where I can go here in Puerto Rico and I'll have my test done by a physician you approve. He said, I heard nothing from them. So I was waiting. And they didn't call me to come to a show. They didn't call me to do anything. And 3 months later, I get the message, well, you're suspended for refusal to take a drug test. Not failing it, refusing to take it. Now, he says, I never refused to take it. I just said, I don't see the point in jumping on an airplane and flying to the United States to sit behind the curtain. If you're going to use me, fine, I'll come. And I'll take the drug test the same day. But if you're not, then just let's find a place here I can go that you approve of. And I'll have my drug test done. And they didn't say, no, you can't do that. You must come. They just didn't answer me. So he said, I assumed they were going to get in touch with me at some point. And the next thing I heard, I'm suspended for failure to take a drug test. Now, he's very mad because he said, the way this was released is that I failed a drug test and my good name is and my reputation is on the line here and I did not fail a drug test. I just didn't take one. I didn't refuse to take one. I was waiting for them to get back to me. Now, if this is true, this is nonsense. This is nonsense, and it shows that the WWE is not running a tight ship here because if, okay, maybe they're mad at Primo. Maybe they say, hey, Primo, that's a lousy attitude. We told you get on the freaking airplane and come here. We're signing your paycheck. Then that's what you tell them. You have somebody get in touch with them and say, no, you will not take one in Puerto Rico. You'll do exactly what we said. You will get on the plane, you will come here, and you will take it. And then he probably would have. But to say nothing, and then just say, well, you refused. That's an absurdity. And now there's word coming down the line. Apparently, Dolph Ziggler has made some comments about, I had my old tag team partner back, and he was looking at, and had a picture of Drew McIntyre and said, those are good times or whatever. You always showed up. And apparently there's a little heat there. We're looking at probably the demise of Bobby Roode here. Some people are saying when he comes back, he's going to be jabroned out. Some people are saying he may even be released. I don't know. You know, I've always thought Bobby Roode was one of those guys you could use if you did him right. He can't be failing drug tests. But I think it's a little extreme. Roman Reigns failed a drug test. I don't see him gone. I defy you to give some of these people drug tests and have them pass. And here's the deal. You don't have to be a rocket scientist or a doctor to figure that out. Take a look at the rosters. Take a look at guys that you say, yeah, come on. Come on. And those are the guys. It's easy to pick them out. Not hard at all. And some guys, they just look the other way. And some guys, they're sticklers, boy. So I don't know, Todd. I mean, I think Primo does have a point. If he offered to take one and they didn't get back to him, I don't know how that's refusal.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Roman Reigns got tested for steroid use, they kept him on TV and win matches. And right there, that's favoritism. If anybody else takes steroids and got caught, they're suspended for 30 or 60 days.
Well, let's be clear. I don't think it was actually steroids they caught him with. It was something else, some other, drugs. But it, basically drugs that would have similar effect, Mike. So, yeah, I mean, this seems a little weird.
It is a little weird. And look, hell, if they don't want to fire Brock Lesnar for getting caught doping by another federation that's supposedly a legitimate sports federation that actually, I think, did suspend them, I believe. And
yep,
they don't want
sure
to suspend
did.
Them, you know. So, and then this whole situation with Primo is another version of being not, like you said, not running a tight ship on these things and kind of being a cluster, you know. It's like, You're going to tell him, okay, we want you to take a drug test, but not telling to be in, to flat out be there. And he's going to, what would you, if you were in that same situation as Primo, in another your home is in another country, and they're asking you to take a blood test, What would you have done? You would have done the same thing.
No, absolutely.
Thing that would have done.
Absolutely.
You would have said, send me to a doctor here, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's common sense. Or if you're the WWE, you say, hey, Primo, we're going to use you in a taping for main event or whatever the hell it is. Come on up. And when he's up there, say, and incidentally, take a drug test. All Primo was saying is, why am I going if I'm not getting paid? You know, I'm not going to be used, so I fly all the way to wherever you want me to fly just to sit there and then just go back home to Puerto Rico? That doesn't make any sense. Just, you must have a doctor down here you trust. It's not like I'm trying to get away, so I'll pick my doctor. No, no, he didn't say that. He said, WWE, you find the doctor down here you want me to go to, and I'll go to him on my dime. And then, instead of them saying no, that's not the way it'll work, they just didn't contact him. And the next thing he knows, he's suspended. That's ridiculous. And that goes to show that he really, you know, look, he's very expendable. He knows he's very expendable. He's sitting home in Puerto Rico. He's not doing anything. They don't care. It's just their way of damaging his reputation in case they release him. And that's, he knows that. That's why he's saying, I'm fighting this. Because now my reputation says, I failed a drug test. So if the WWE cuts me loose next week, my reputation is, yeah, I don't know if you hire him. He failed some drug tests and stuff. He's bad news. I never did. That's his point. And it's a good point. And it's a fair point. So anyway, folks, next week, yes, Raw will obviously be a little bit better show, I think, based on what I know. It was taped last night, which is a shame because that crowd was dead. Dead.
90 seconds.
But when you do two shows in one night, I guess that's why they did that half-hour gauntlet match that led nowhere, and some of these other things that really led nowhere. That crowd got to see a long show, man. Two shows in one. Can you imagine? 6 hours of Raw. Woo! Anyway, we will be back here on Friday with the AEW NXT report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio.